Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
What up, G?
Juice, what do we say to the God of Death?
Not today, son.
Oh yeah. wow. So it's now 2 days later, and I don't know, man. I'm still feeling the wrath of the long night. What say you?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. But when I'm asking people what they thought about it, if they liked it or not, I'm kind of getting a little bit of a mixed reaction. It's hard to please people these days.
I know. It's gotten a lot of criticism, mainly because, and I wanted to start with this, people saying it was too dark. It was hard to tell what was going on. You know, the cinematographers, the directors, they fucked up. I personally think it's because they did that intentionally, right? They wanted you to be almost at the battle and feeling, you know, it was like a big storm going on, and you know, the weather and the elements and chaos, and I don't know. What did you think?
So when I started watching it, I thought something was wrong with my TV. I was thinking, damn, like, it's been a couple of years. Maybe I need to upgrade my TV. Like, this is whack, you know?
Right, right.
But luckily, I had my phone with me, and my friend who lives in Boston now, my old college roommate, he texted me. He's like, yo, man, this sucks. I feel like this is, like, cut out of the scene from Armageddon when they're on the comet and you can't see anything. It's just particles flying everywhere. But so I was like, I was relieved that I don't need a new TV. But, you know, like, I got used to it after a while. Like, it was fine. You could see stuff. I think people are over-exaggerating how dark it was. And I totally agree with you, what you're saying. I think the producers and the directors, they want it to feel like, you know, first of all, it's pitch black out. A long night.
Yeah,
it's snowing out. They wanted you to, you know, I guess feel what the characters are feeling in there. But you also think, you know, what I also think, and I don't know. I've heard mixed things about this. I've tried to tell people. Also, from, you know, just filming standpoint and viewership, these zombies, like, if you heard White Walkers or whatever you want to call them, the dead. If it's shot in, like, broad daylight, it kind of looks cheesy, right? They probably look it probably looks terrible. Whereas the way they filmed it, like, it's just these things are coming at you so fast, and they're coming, you don't know where they're coming from, and just, like, you don't know what's happening. It almost adds to it. But then again, like, they filmed Hard Home in that episode, Hard Home, in the daylight,
right?
And I guess it didn't look that bad, but still, like, I don't know, I didn't have a problem with it.
I didn't, and before even getting into it, I wanted to create a scene in my house watching it, so I turned off all the lights. So I never once really was like, you know, what's going on here? Is there something wrong with my TV? Like, I never once thought that. It was until after. When everyone was talking about it, but it was, you know, did you watch with the lights off?
Yeah, I watched with the lights off.
Yeah, that was the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. I think, like, you know, they wanted to create that. Like, I think once you start, when you can really see the White Walkers and the white and stuff like that, it's easy for people to, like, pick it apart, and then it looks kind of like cartoonish. And,
yeah.
And, like, it has to have some element of, even though it's fantasy, it has to have some element of realism.
Absolutely.
So I was okay. It was kind of cool, though, like every time you saw a fire, like the whole everything lit up, and you know, I saw some jokes like thanks to the dragons and you know, the red woman for providing the lighting for the show.
I mean, it's sort of true. And man, so you know, obviously watching that episode was really intense. I likened it to an 80-minute panic attack. I don't think I've ever watched anything where I was just more on the edge of my seat, jaw dropped, just shaking. Like I couldn't contain myself. It was just so intense. I think the last time I felt like that was maybe like the Battle of the Bastards or, you know, one of those episodes, or, but this show just has a way of, you know, making us feel like that. What was your feeling when the Dothraki first charged with the torches, or I guess they had their daggers or knives or swords, whatever, lit up from Melisandre, the Red Woman, and they go, so, they rush forward, and all of a sudden, bit by bit, they all go out, and then it's like, what the fuck?
So those 10 minutes, it's all like, I think it's like 10 minutes, and it's anxious, everyone's nervous, yeah. And you feel leading it up. Too. You feel like, you're like, what the hell is going to happen? What's coming at me right now? And then I got pumped when all of their swords, you know, lit up in flames. I was kind of amped up.
Yeah, same.
Then, like, I don't know, I guess it didn't hit me right away, but I was like, I didn't realize that all of the Dothraki, the whole, you know, all of them were pretty much sacrificed. They went out. I mean, once you start to see the fire go from their swords slowly go out, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it was like, fuck.
Yeah. But yeah, that, I mean, the episode had moments like that where you didn't know what the hell was going to happen,
right.
And you're on the edge of your seat. Another part of that show was when Jon Snow is trying to run up on the Night King. The Night King turns around and just raises his arms, and all the dead become alive. I'm thinking, oh shit, are they going to kill Jon Snow right now? This is how it's going to end.
Yeah.
I thought really, like, at one point, I think there's a, like, everybody had their moment where you thought they were going to die.
Yep. That moment for me was definitely what you just mentioned when John was surrounded by the dead that just rose. I'm like, how is he going to get out of this? That moment, and, I mean, that was obviously the number one moment. I really legit, and that was probably like an hour into it. So I think there was like 20 minutes left, and you're like, whoa. Like, yeah, I started thinking, like, how are they going to do these last three episodes with, like, literally everyone dead? Like, how, like, was it going to be Cersei and Euron? We're going to be rooting for them against the dead?
So, yeah, so that's another, like, I'll go back to a point where you, like, everyone's complaining about certain things. Like, oh, they want, people wanted more death. But at the same time, yeah, like, you still have to fight a golden company with, like, what do they have, 20,000 men?
Yeah.
And Cersei, that, I mean, we have one more war to go.
The Iron Fleet.
You can't kill everybody. No. You know what I mean?
No.
I mean, people complain no matter what. People in season one were complaining that you're killing off all the main characters, and then now it's season eight, and you're not killing enough main characters. I don't know. I was happy that, I'm happy with the death toll. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, think about it. So, let's list it off. We got Jorah. I think he was
Lord
maybe...
Lord Benzo!
What's up?
I was listening to Hot 97, and they kept calling him Lord Friendzone. I thought that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, total friend zone.
Oh, shit, Lord Friendzone!
he was completely in love with Dany, and yeah, she wanted to kill him at one point. When she found out he was a spy for Robert Baratheon or King Baratheon, whatever. But yeah, that was pretty sad. And I mean, he went out in glory, right? I mean, he defended Dany, the queen, and so that was a big one. Then we got, let's see. Well, how about the Night King? That's not a big death, you know what I mean? Like,
so, I thought that was cool. And by the way, the music to that was awesome.
Oh, the score was amazing, yeah.
Yeah, the score is always amazing in Game of Thrones.
It is.
They did it right.
Yeah.
My only issue with him dying is that it? Like, is this the last of the White Walkers and the White and the Night King?
I don't think
This is building up for 8 seasons, and he died. Like, Arya killing him was so badass, and it was that was, you know, the best part of the whole episode, I think. Like,
yeah.
that whole thing. But, it's like, the build-up for this has been 8 years long, and they kind of went out pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean, albeit it was the longest episode in the show's history. But yeah, it's like, we still have a lot of questions, right? Like, who was the Night King? Which can still be explained, I guess. Bran can still explain it. Yeah, like, you know.
Unless, Tone, the only thing I can think of is that, so HBO got the green light to do a prequel
right.
to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Which takes place hundreds of years prior. So maybe we get some of that explanation in that. You know, I think they're saving some of the stuff for, you know, this new show that's coming out. But still, you know, I want to know more about who he is or what's his motives, what are they doing. But, you know, if he died and then we don't get any explanation, that kind of stinks. Because this is supposed to be the baddest guy ever. The most, you know, the darkest villain.
Right.
And he kind of just goes out quick with Arya Stark stab. And that's it.
Yeah.
Put him in a body bag.
So the actor that plays him, actually, I saw in an interview, and they asked him, like, what did the Night King want, ultimately? And what the actor said was revenge. And they're like, revenge for what? And basically revenge for the people that made him the Night King. Like, I guess the guy who is the Night King never wanted to be the Night King. So he just wanted to destroy everybody. And that goes
back to...
It goes back to the Children of the Forest who created the Night King and the White Walkers and all that. And what was their intention in doing that? And there's just so much that needs to be explained. Which, again, like you said, you know, the prequels definitely will explain. I think the books actually probably do explain. You know. So, you know, we'll see. You can't get all the answers, right? Like... It's unfortunate. I mean, we want all the answers, but you know, you gotta let it play out. We still got 3 more episodes.
I still don't think, like, there's 3 more episodes left. I think there's gonna be something to do with the White Walkers where we see, like, there's one still living somewhere or something's going on. You know, I don't think it's the end. Maybe
right.
that'll be like how it finally ends, where they go out deep into the, you know, somewhere. And there is one walking around, like a White Walker walking
yeah.
around, you know?
Yeah, I believe it. And it's like, how did that happen? You know, you killed the Night King and they're all supposed to go down. Like, why is there still one lingering around? Like, how the hell did that happen? But there's a theory going around that Dany somehow becomes the Night Queen or something. And, you know, obviously it's a long, complicated reason why.
Yeah.
But, you know, I saw that theory flowing around. There's a lot of that. Let's get back to the death. So, Theon Greyjoy, which I like to say is the show's most improved player. I mean, have you ever seen a character have so many ups and downs in a show? Like, this guy went from, he's every season he's been like a different person.
Yeah, I liked him. I liked him towards the end. I mean, he was very, I guess, evil in season, I believe it was season 2, when he, you know, tried to take over took over Winterfell.
Yeah.
Killing all those people. Just to prove that, you know, he was this warrior and his house and his father and his
yep.
name. Like, you know, he was the ultimate villain. And then you start to feel bad for him when Ramsay Bolton's torturing him.
Yeah, cutting his wee-wee off.
Then, like, once he's captured and he's tortured, I feel like he is, the rest of the way, like, he's trying to prove that, like, who he is. You know, he's trying to show us that, he's trying to validate that he's a good person. And he doesn't know it himself.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I thought the ending when Bran kind of just justified, hey, you're a good man, Like, it was his, it, you know, that was all he needed to hear.
That was his moment.
Yeah, he was forgiven for all the things that he did. And,
yeah.
You know, I got, that was awesome. I got chills when
yep.
he said that. And
same.
He said, thank you. And then he just kind of ran. So I don't know if that was the best,
yeah.
best strategy to run like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he kind of knew, like, fuck it, I'm going to shoot my shot here. I'm probably going to die, but whatever. It's been a good run. I have no dick. Whatever, you know. It is what it is. So
good character, though.
Yeah, and he was rocking the shit before he died. He was fucking people up, you know.
So can I ask you this?
Yeah.
What the hell was Bran doing the entire time?
So this
he's the LVP.
Yeah, yeah. This is exactly. Like he's the biggest mystery to me in the episode. Like the thing that pissed me off is when he's like, "Oh, I'm going to go now." And then like the ravens fly off and into the sky, whatever. And then all of a sudden you see the Night King, and that's it. And it's like, you gotta think they're gonna explain this though.
Yeah, because I know he warped into a raven,
right?
And he's following the Night King. But then, what about the rest of the fucking episode? It was like an hour and a half.
Yeah,
being warped. Like, where? I think Dad talked about that. Like, where the hell was he the whole time? What was he doing? And then the one disappointing thing is when the Night King approaches him, right? I thought he just stares. He has that stupid blank stare.
Yeah.
Which is actually creepy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like, say something profound or say something, like, you know, anything. He didn't say anything. Just ready to get cut in half.
I thought they were like gonna like dap each other and just be like, "Yo, we got him," you know, like they were just like they were just gonna be like boys or something, you know, like I don't. But then he started reaching for his sword, and then out of nowhere comes our hero Arya.
They have to do something with Bran's character, other than like, yeah, we get it. He's seen the future, and he knows everything. They gotta do something with him, because otherwise he's kind of useless. Like, I hope that we find out at the end, like, he's some sort of bad guy, or he has some importance to the show. Like,
I don't know. He has to.
Otherwise, he's just kind of like a pointless character to me.
Well, maybe weird.
He's weird.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely weird. He's a three-eyed raven, right? So the three-eyed raven, I don't really know a lot of the backstory on the three-eyed raven. Maybe the three-eyed raven's the one who created the children of the forest, who created the Night King. I don't know. Like, maybe that's what it is. Who knows? There's probably a ton of stuff in the books, and you know, that maybe explain it. But I almost want to go back and read the books. But aren't they, like, you know, ridiculously long? How many books are there? Do you know?
They're long.
They're crazy long. Long, right?
Just a couple of books, and I think they're not even done being written, but George R. R. Martin has told HBO like how he wants it to end and things like that. But I think the books provide lots of history and more detail and context.
Well, so I'm glad you brought that up, because one thing I really wanted to talk about that's really starting to gain some steam, that's been mentioned numerous times throughout the series, is this mystical figure, Azor Ahai. I don't know if you've heard.
I've read those theories.
So Azor Ahai is, I guess, this ancient warrior from Essos who, I guess, took down the last army of the dead, or the last Long Night or Night King or some shit like that thousands of years ago, and I guess killed his wife to bring down the army of the dead or whatever, and saved the world or some shit like that. And I guess Melisandre and, you know, Beric and, you know, all these people who believe in the God of the Light and stuff like that, they believe in this Azor Ahai, and who is that person? And is it John? Is it Danny? And then people are trying to float around, is it Arya? So do you think they're going to do anything with this Azor Ahai thing?
I think that'll be another thing it's definitely like mentioned in the books and all these things, but I think that's something that's probably for the prequel.
Okay. So they won't like announce that, like whoever that is.
Yeah. I don't think so.
That might be a little too deep. And Melisandre would have to be the one to explain that, right? And she, you know, she was going to be next on the death list here, you know, of big characters that died in the last episode. So, did you even know she was going to be in the episode?
No.
That was like, I was like, oh, shit.
I forgot about her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that's like, she's a witch, and I think that's the purpose of her life.
Right.
Her life was deliver the prince that was promised, and which we thought it was Stannis Baratheon, and she thought I guess it was Jon Snow, but maybe the whole time it was Arya, you know.
But the prince, but that's what Azor Ahai is, aka the prince that was promised.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm like, okay, is this like a thing?
That's something from the books, and they don't mention that. Like, I've never heard that name on the show.
She might have mentioned it before, but like it probably went way over our heads. You know what I mean? Like, she might have mentioned it. She says weird shit all the time. You know, like the whole series, she was saying weird stuff.
Yeah.
Which also goes back to season 3 when she's talking to a little Arya Stark and tells her, something in that darkness, eyes staring back at me, brown eyes, green eyes, blue eyes, eyes you'll shut forever. Which, this is what makes the show so fucking cool. This was season 3. That was, what, 2012? 2011? Yeah. And here we are, 2019, last season, and it all comes back to that. And
that's why I'm telling you, man. People thought I was crazy when I was like, before this season started, I said I'm going to rewatch all of them. And I actually loved it. It's actually better than the first time I watched it because...
Of course.
The hardest part is like even knowing anybody's names. Now you know the names, you know what's going on, you pay a little bit more attention to like all these little details. So I remember her saying that. And then when I was watching the show... Like, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then she just starts running, and I'm like, what is she going to do now, you know?
Yeah.
So, she killed... Brown Eyes was, what the hell?
Walter Frey, right? Walter Frey, yeah. Who was, you know, the, I guess, ringleader of the Red Wedding.
Red Wedding.
Yeah.
And then Blue Eyes, the Night King.
Yep.
And Green Eyes, I guess, from Cersei, right?
I like to think so, right? I mean, does she have green eyes? I'd like to think she has, you know.
I saw a picture online, and in that picture, like, I don't know if it was doctored or anything, but she has green eyes.
Okay.
Great success!
So, maybe a sign of things to come. It's one of the things that makes the show so cool. But yeah, Melisandre, she really came up big, you know? Obviously the first thing with the Dothraki and the fire that didn't really work, but but the other thing with the fire, well, actually I guess the other thing she did with the fire didn't really work too, because the whites just built a they built a wall to walk over, and you know, they for dead people they're kind of smart. So let's round out the deaths here. So Beric, who, how many times did he die? 9 or 19 times, so, I mean...
A lot of times.
Yeah, it was like, all right.
Resurrected a few times.
Yeah, you know.
You know, I knew he was going to go.
Yeah, and he talks about Lord of the Light and all this crazy stuff, too. And but, you know, he...
What about Lady Mormont?
Oh, so Lyanna Mormont, who, for someone who, like, is barely in the show, she's got such, like... huge fan praise, you know what I mean? Like, she was in the show, what, like, 3 scenes?
So the plan was, originally, that they brought her in for one scene. Like, the first time you see her, she was only brought in for that one scene.
Yeah.
But she did so well, and like you said, she has a ton of fans. She captivated the directors and the producers. that they brought her back and then wrote her like to have a bigger character.
And wow, what I mean, what a scene she had in that episode. I mean, to take on the smaller, giant and kill it.
Yeah, the smallest character killing the biggest, you know, giant.
Yeah. Yeah, and when he first, when the giant first like smacks her, you're like, oh, fuck, she's dead already. Like that's it. But she gets up and she screams like this primal scream, and just stabs him right in the eye, and that was fucking dope. So she went out.
It was awesome.
She went out in a blaze of glory. And then Ed, you know, Ed died. Edison, whatever his name is. From the Night's Watch.
John Snow's bestie.
Yeah, Jon Snow and Sam's, you know, bestie. He actually died saving Sam, so. And then, last but not least, speaking of Sam, Gilly. It's sad, man. Did their son get it, too?
Wait, Gilly didn't die?
I think she did.
No, man, I don't think so.
When the whites got into the crypt, I thought everyone died except for, like...
She got away. She's like, I don't think she died.
Okay, I mean, I hope so, but
yeah, I don't think that would have been real sad. Anything that happens with Sam is like, you know,
right. And he almost died a bunch of times, and then you know he was freaking out
when he was laying there and crying. I was just like, oh, poor Sam, you little bitch. You know, like he can't. He's not a fighter. He's not a warrior.
Even though he's, you know, he was the first to kill a White Walker. He killed a Thane.
Jon Snow's running through like the whole battle with his sword. He looks at Sam and then just looks away. He's like, gotta keep it moving. Sorry, bro.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It was crazy. I mean, it's one thing to see Sam cry and freak out, but what was shocking to me was to see the Hound or Grey Worm or Jorah just look completely shook. Like, just terrified.
A lot of people are mentioning the Hound. I think they forget that he's got that phobia of fire ever since his face was burned.
I didn't even think of that.
Anytime there's fire around, like, he freezes up. So a lot of people are just forgetting that. But yeah, like, you know, Grey Worm's a little badass too, man. He's like supposed to be one of the top warriors in the whole Seven Kingdoms. And he's got blood on his face. And
yeah, they all froze. I mean, I think they all were like, this is terrifying, first of all, and we have zero chance. I think they all kind of realized it. And then, you know, Beric had to, like, you know, shake the Hound, like, dude, look at her. And she's, you know, you see Arya just fucking, you know, kicking ass.
Yeah, she's a ninja. It's like all their training with, you know, the Many-Faced
God. Yeah, the Many-Faced God.
Yeah, the Many-Faced God, and the guy from the first season who's like training her, who's the first person to say, "What do we say?"
His name?
Guy, like all these trainings and everything, it just like turned her into a ninja.
Yeah,
and like you said, like going. What's incredible about the show is they always tie everything back to the original.
Yep.
First, like 2-3 seasons, because Arya has a conversation with her dad, Ned Stark, and she's talking about watching cats, because cats can get around and move around, and you don't even know. They're so fast, and they move around. 1 minute they're there, and then they're not. She's like, her whole life has been training for this.
Yeah, bro, wasn't she blind for like a bunch of episodes? Remember that?
I think one or two episodes she was blind.
In Braavos or whatever?
Yeah, she had to learn how to fight blind.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be interesting, you know.
They still have a lot to cover.
So much,
and there's only three episodes left. So I'm wondering, you know, how this is going to play out. Because essentially, 80% of their, you know, army is decimated and done. How the hell are they going to, you know, take the Iron Throne from Cersei?
Right. So there's actually a picture out, and I think it's just from the preview, whatever. And it's a, you know, pretty much everyone who survived the Battle of Winterfell, like in front of the castle. And it's like, I don't know, maybe 80 people. I don't know. Maybe ballparking wrong, but like, yeah, you got the Golden Company, the Iron Fleet, whatever other army that Cersei has.
Do you think it's going to end in the like a generic, like the protagonist wins, where Jon Snow is just sitting on the Iron Throne?
You know, I think about this a lot. I have no idea. I have zero idea how it's going to end. You know what I mean? Like, I just...
For some reason, I just think that for this show, I mean, like, that's how it should probably end.
Right.
But I think people would be disappointed. I think people just want to see something crazy happen.
I think what people want the most is, I think they want John and Danny to turn against each other. And Danny to become the bad guy. And John be sitting on the Iron Throne at the end, or Arya. I think Arya has like the most fans of anyone right now. Basically, the Starks on top. You know what I mean? I think that's what the fan base.
My favorite meme is her head on Bill Belichick's body, and it's like, we're on to King's Landing.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And then her head on Damian Lillard after hitting that game winner. That was a popular one. Yeah, jeez. Well, I mean,
It sucks for anybody who couldn't watch it, unfortunately, because you have to just stay away from people and stay off the internet.
Dude, I know someone who who actually I know you know, shouts to their Sinis, who they had Greek Easter and they couldn't watch it in live time because they were too busy on Sunday. And I was, you know, talking to Nick, and I'm like, how do you like avoid like spoilers, you know? But he did. He was able to do it and got to watch it Monday night. But I gotta think it's impossible, especially for us. You know, we go on Twitter and all that.
Like, usually the internet, like, some people are good about it. And you know, but as soon as I went on Twitter, man, the whole internet was talking about it, just flat out saying what happened. And even for me, like, so I saw the Avengers Endgame last night.
Right.
And that came out last week. And anything that I would start to see anything Avengers, I like swiped away or scrolled up or down, and I moved away from it, and I was good. I didn't come across any spoilers. But I think with the last Game of Thrones episode, it's impossible. I think
everybody's talking about it,
it was everywhere.
I mean, I don't think has there ever been more hype for an episode of TV? Maybe the Sopranos finale had the hype. No, but Game of Thrones is an international, like, phenomenon. Sopranos definitely wasn't. So, yeah, this was, like, the most hyped show ever, or episode ever. I mean, it was pretty much a movie. I mean, you could put this in the theaters and call it The Long Night, and we'd believe it's a movie, right? You know?
Yeah.
Maybe add, like, another 40 minutes to it to make it, you know?
I hope the next episode. I know the next episode is going to be like a story episode. They got to explain like what's about to happen.
Yes.
And what's going to come next. But I hope it's not boring.
No.
And I don't think it will be boring, but boring in the sense of like we only have three of these left. Shit needs to start hitting the fan.
Yeah, I don't know how they're gonna do it, because like we said before, they have like no one. I mean, they got the two dragons, which by the way, where did was it what's John's dragon? Rhaegar?
Yeah, Rhaegar.
Where did he go? Like, he just disappeared. And Ghost. Can we talk about Ghost?
Ghost appears out of nowhere.
Why do they not like they the show doesn't make a big deal about Ghost. It's weird. The fans love Ghost and the show just doesn't give a shit. They just like they put him in here like sporadically and that's it.
They sprinkle him in, like, here and there, but they don't focus on him. He's just, like, in the background. You gotta catch him.
It's weird.
Know. He's, like, a mythical thing. And he's been there with Jon Snow since day one.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he's alive, though. He's alive.
He's alive, you know. So that's good. Yeah! But, yeah, Rhaegar, he just disappeared. And then, was it Drogon, Dany's dragon, was getting, like, destroyed by whites for a little bit. But got away. And then obviously Viseron, he's, you know, blew up. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I don't know what they do. I mean, Yara, you know, Theon's sister, you know, she could go get the Iron Fleet and bring it Euron has the Iron Fleet. I don't know. Maybe she can go get the Dornish army. Like, what's going on in Dorne? Like, don't they have, like, an army? Like, and they hate the Lannisters. They hate Cersei. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What's up with them? I don't know. I'm just...
I'll have to cover. I think the one thing, though, I'm looking forward to is I think now we're definitely going to get the Clegane Bowl.
Yes. Yes.
The Mountain versus the Hound. Let's go.
I can't wait for that because I love the Hound, and the Mountain fucking burned his face when they were little kids. And yeah, we better get Clegane Bowl. I think people, you know, the people need that. You know, we need that. But I can't wait for the last three episodes. I have no idea what's gonna happen. Like none. Like I really, I have no idea how they're gonna do this. I just hope, you know, I hope it's not like just. There's gonna be some surprises, right? They gotta throw some shockers in there, you know.
Yeah, people are going to die.
Yeah.
People that we love.
And people, you know, people are going to turn on people. If I had to guess, this is my prediction. I think John and Danny, something happens there. Danny's jealous that he's, you know, the real heir to the throne. And, you know, I don't know, goes mad, turns into the Mad Queen or, you know, the Night Queen or some shit happens, I think, with her. I think Arya gets Cersei. And Yara gets Euron or something like that. I don't know. I have no idea. Something.
I think Jaime is going to end up killing Cersei.
Oh yeah. So that's what I meant to ask. I'm glad you brought that up. For the longest, I've been saying Jaime. It makes the most sense if Jaime or Tyrion killed Cersei for obvious reasons. But I mean Jaime and Brienne of Tarth. I thought for a second there they were definitely dead. Like it seemed like the whole fucking like episode they just had walkers like whites just like on top of them.
Everybody at my job, everybody in the hospital that I know makes fun of me because my favorite character on the show was now Sir Brienne of Tarth.
Sir,
and
yeah.
When she was knighted, everyone's talking, like doctors, nurses, they were all telling me, Josh, you know, she's going to be the first one to die because her character arc is complete now. She got knighted.
Right.
Like that's it. So I was like, she can't die in our pool. Just because she's my favorite, I picked her to live. But everyone's making fun of me. And, you know, when I came in on Monday morning, I was smiling from ear to ear. I'm so happy that she's alive. And they're like, no, she has to die. I don't know how it didn't happen. But I just told all of them, you know, they're just not romantics. We have a love story that we need to see through right now. Jaime or Tormund.
Oh, Tormund, yes. So Tormund,
I think,
Tormund made it
I
too,
think,
yeah.
Tormund, that whole thing is just comical.
Yeah.
But I think he might die, like, saving her, protecting her.
I think so, too. That seems obvious.
But I do think, like, James, somehow it'll come out that Jaime and Brienne love each other.
Yeah, and something devastating is going to happen there. Like, Cersei's going to kill Brienne, and Jaime's going to kill Cersei, or I don't know. Some crazy shit.
Yeah, that's a good point. That might be how, because you got to get Jaime so angry that he kills his own sister.
Yeah.
Maybe she has Brienne killed. That's a good point.
Yeah, that can happen.
I love Cersei's character. She was the wife.
Oh, yeah.
In 300.
Oh, she was. You know, wow, you're right.
Yeah, she's Whoa. The wife, and I thought she was great in that.
Oh my god.
And 300's awesome. I love 300.
I never thought about that, dude. Wow.
Yeah, and then ever since she came onto this show, she's spectacular. She's a
Has she won any awards?
Villainous person.
Has she won any awards?
I don't know. That I can't tell.
I think Tyrion's like the only one who's like ever won like any sort of award for acting on that show.
Yeah, but she's great.
Yeah. No, I mean everyone. The acting's just amazing all across the board in that show. I can't find anyone who's, you know, a bad actor in that show. It's just so well done. I mean, dude, have you ever been more horrified watching an episode, like a episode of TV? I mean, dude, when the whites first charge, I had to like cover my eyes. Like, I was just like, oh my god, this is nuts. My heart was beating. It was fucking scary.
They
moved
so fast. I mean, the Giants could use some of those guys on defense.
So let's get into that. I think we covered everything on Thrones. Let's just look forward to watching. Obviously, the draft. You're a diehard Giants fan. One of the darkest days in Giants history that Thursday.
So listen, like, that went from me jumping off the GW bridge to now I'm calmed down. I'm okay.
Okay.
I had my little Don LaGreca ranting on Twitter, throwing my tantrum. But it took a couple days and I'm okay. I'm all right. Not the pick that we expected to take at six.
Yeah.
But I will say this philosophy, like, if you have your guy there and you don't want, and that's your guy, and you don't want to risk anybody taking him, then you just take him, you know what I mean? And it is what it is, you know? Even if people say they could have traded, they could have waited, or they could have traded up, you just don't know. You don't know. If any other team is crazy like you and loves him also, like, how do you trust anybody? How do you know?
Right. I mean, do you believe Gettleman when he says that they heard the Skins and the Broncos were going to draft Jones?
A lot of people don't. I see a lot of tweets and they're like, this is definitely not the case, or 100% I don't believe him.
Right.
He might have believed, I think he believed that other teams liked him, but he doesn't know. How the hell would he know if another team was definitely going to take him? You know, nobody knows.
Right.
So that part is made up. I just think that he was their guy. And the more and more as days pass by, I look at this guy, I'm looking at clips, I'm looking at him as a person, he's Eli 2.0.
Yeah.
He doesn't have much, this kid doesn't have much of a personality. He's a good guy. He seems like a good person, good kid, high character. He's always going to show up to work. You know, all those things that are just like what Giants fans love about Eli Manning, this kid has. So, I don't know, his player comparisons are anywhere from, he could be Ryan Tannehill, to, which is no good,
right,
to people, I've seen people say he's Matt Ryan.
No.
You know, and, you know, Giants fans and people like me who are just now, you know, he's a part of our team and we have to root for him, we're going to come up with the excuses. We're going to say that Duke receivers had the most drop passes, or the line wasn't good, and this kid has all the tools. I don't think, nobody knows, but the one thing that is comforting to me is I talked to somebody who's like an older guy. This guy's probably in his 60s, and he said, I'm not worried about it because this is the same exact thing that happened with Phil Simms. Like, nobody knew who the hell Phil Simms was.
Oh, okay.
And he's from, you know, a small college in Ohio. Nobody knew. They drafted him number 7 when everybody else predicted him to go in the 3rd round.
Okay.
And it worked out. So I think if this is the guy, or this is the type of guy that they want, listen, we're going to have Saquon Barkley is going to be top 5 back next year. The line is a lot better. Let's see, you know?
Yeah, well, people were actually saying that Gettleman did a pretty good job drafting in the later rounds. And then obviously, you know, there's a story of, was it Corey Ballantyne, or the corner that they drafted that, you know,
yeah, Corey Ballantyne
ends up getting shot and then his teammate
killed. He's all right. Today they said that he'll be there at minicamp, so that's exciting.
Oh, that's good.
But, I liked what he did the rest of the way. He got, 5 or 6 new defensive players?
Yeah.
The only thing I'm worried about is offensive line, but the way he's justifying it is, like, it wasn't a deep draft. Like, once he hit round 4, the talent wasn't there for a tackle. So he stockpiled on defense. And I don't know, it's still early. Like, you know, there's still trades that can be made.
Right.
There's still signings. People are going to get cut. You know, in football, the one good thing is, like, because of salary and other players and things that happen, like, good players just get cut. You know what I mean? So you could always pick up somebody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah.
You know, Gettleman has some balls, because this is the guy, and they're with such conviction that they took him with the 6th pick. He basically, you know, Game of Thrones reference, he put his head on the chopping block. So if this doesn't work, he's going to get fired.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you said it. I mean, after the pick, you know, they talked about how Daniel Jones was a counselor at the Manning's football camp, and, you know, there's the connection there, and, you know, he's got good size. I mean, he's 6'5". He's white. He's, no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, like you said, you know, he's got the Eli look to him. And they felt comfortable with that. And, you know, let's see, right? I mean, this is the whole thing with the draft. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, there's all this reaction, like, you know, uproar. But let's play it. Let it play out. See, you know.
That's the good thing. And, like, you know, I saw Adam Marecchio at the gym, and I was talking to him, and he's the one that, like, kind of tossed me off the ledge a little bit.
Yeah.
But he was saying, you know, all these scouts and guys, they say that, or all these experts are saying that this is a bad pick and he's a bad player. They don't know shit. You know, like, how many Duke games do these guys go and watch? You know what I mean? Like, maybe Mel Kiper and McShay, they do it, but all these people that put out these mock drafts and all these articles, and they're just bashing the pick, nobody watched it. I've never seen a Duke game. Like, you know, I don't know. People know he had the best quote. He was like, I don't know why everyone's so upset. He looks like Aaron Rodgers on YouTube. you know, that's all we have. We have the highlight tape. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he did have he did have 9 picks in one game, though. I don't think I've ever heard a stat line like that. But
I've seen one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time is Brett Favre. I've seen him sling 6 or 7 in a game.
No, that's
not
true.
Worried.
He was a gunslinger. Yeah.
It'll be all right.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. Yeah, man. Anything on the NBA?
Before I go to the NBA, man, congrats on Quinnen Williams. I love that kid. He's awesome.
Yeah, you know, obviously I wanted the edge rusher. I think that was more
this
of a need.
He seems like a good kid.
Yeah, he is.
He's like, I'm rooting for him. Like, that kid's awesome.
Yeah, he seems like a great kid. Yeah. He obviously is a beast. He's a force. And I get it. Top 10, you got to take best player available, right? I mean.
But I've seen people say that he's the best player, you know?
Yeah.
On everybody's, like, depth chart, he's
absolutely
the best player in the draft.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. That's awesome. Good for you guys.
Yeah, I mean,
NBA, I'm just, yo, listen, we got one Duke phenom coming to the Giants, coming to New York. We need the other Duke phenom to go right to the Knicks. We need to hit that lottery. Come
on! Oh, praying.
Yeah. Other than that, man, it sounds like Kevin Durant, like, there's a lot of smoke about MSG, give him a TV show if he comes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Give him whatever he wants. Get him over here. He's been great these playoffs.
Yeah. I saw something funny today. Isaiah Thomas trying to say that KD and Kyrie wouldn't be good together because they both need the ball. I'm like, really?
Nah.
Are we really saying this? Like, shut up.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to be Kyrie, depending on whether, I guess, if Boston wants to pay him the full Supermax or whatnot. But we do need a number two. So hopefully, if KD comes, we get a solid number two that we don't overpay for, and then we'll be in good shape, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
With regards to the playoffs, these matchups are good. I mean, we got Houston and Golden State. Golden State's up by 10 right now.
Yeah.
At the end of the first quarter. Boston, Paul Pierce said that Boston series was over after game one.
Bucks smacked them. Yeah.
He was wrong about that. But, you know, we'll see. There's some good series. I do think Toronto should smack Philadelphia around.
Well, that was interesting. Because after they beat Philly game one, I was like, oh, wow, Toronto's for real. You know, Kawhi and Siakam had huge games. And you're like, whoa, you got like a serious 1-2 punch in Toronto in the six right now. Maybe Kawhi stays, whatever. But then they lost the second game to Philly.
Yeah, they had
it was kind of like, whoa, what's going on? So I don't know. That series could go 7. I think.
What do you think about Denver and Portland?
I think that's going 7. So Paul and I spoke earlier. I think that's going 7.
Hopefully all these games go 7.
You're right. You know what? Every series has a chance to go 7 games, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
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 So we'll see. Lots to look forward to, right? We got, you know, Game of Thrones, 3 episodes. We got the playoffs. We got the lottery, which, you know, we're doing a live pod during the lottery. That's going to be, you won't want to miss that one.
What a time to be alive.
Oh, man. All right, Juice.
All right, man.
All right, thanks. Talk to you later.
Peace. Oh, bless you. Thank you.
Oh, hey, pa.
What's up?
So, where should we start? J-E-T-S?
J-E-T-S, typical Jet McCagnan draft. Top player falls into his lap, and then when he actually has to do some scouting, some picks that we would like, I'd say outside of Polite, the defensive end from Florida, pretty underwhelming draft, and I wasn't too happy with it. What's your opinion?
Right. I mean, obviously we were going back and forth after each pick. It seems like he just took the high upside picks. Obviously, Quinnen Williams, you know, again, just a pick that falls into his lap. You know, best player available. He's always going to do that. Me personally, you know, I wanted the edge rusher. I wanted Josh Allen. I wanted Ed Oliver, you know, whatever. But I understand Quinnen Williams seems like a great kid, and he's obviously mega talented. So, you know, best player available, whatever, go for it. But, yeah, everyone else, it seems like, was, you know, definitely like high upside, whether it's injury prone or character flaws or whatever. It seems like every guy that he picked had you know, after Williams kind of had that those qualities.
And he does this all the time. He did it like last year. Who was it? Shepard. He drafted in the third round. Remember him?
Nope.
The big guy. exactly. Who? You didn't do anything this year. He was the defensive tackle. He was a 26 or 27 year old rookie that he found from like Canada that was like a bouncer for like all of his early to mid 20s. Like, he barely played football, and he took him with the third round pick. He tried to like outsmart himself. Like, yeah, see, like I was a big time scout. You know, I can find these guys anywhere. But it's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, this guy was like an undrafted free agent. He does this way too often. I mean, the guy from Minnesota had two shoulder surgeries last year, and he's like 24 years old. Like, what?
Yeah, and he's
I don't know. I don't really. But the guy from Florida, I'm cool with. USC. It seems like that tackle, if he keeps his head on straight, doesn't get in trouble. You know, he played with Darnold. He has a lot of like raw talent. But the Rutgers kid that they drafted in the sixth round. He has like two ACL tears in the past like year and a half.
Jeez.
Clearly could have got this guy as an undrafted free agent. It's just, but you know, the draft is like, you know, you're throwing a dart at this stuff. So it's tough to get on him right now. You have to give it a couple of years, but you know, his track record doesn't exactly give me a good feeling going forward.
Yeah.
But it could be worse, Tone. We could be a Giants fan.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And you know, we've got plenty of Giant fan friends who are not happy with the current regime over there. Pretty bad. Even though I guess the late rounds they did okay with some of the defensive backs.
Thing. Yeah, like the rest of their draft, I like a lot. Every other pick, like but Jones. But if he turns into the guy, that'd be awesome. But if they had Haskins with the rest of the guys that they got,
oh yeah.
They would have like one of the top drafts, I think. But I mean, this guy, I don't see it with Jones. I watch a lot of college football. I've seen him play a few times. I was never impressed with him. I don't see him being like at his peak, like more than like a top, you know, just like a mediocre quarterback. I don't see him being a Pro Bowler at all, especially in that division. Now you got Haskins, you got Wentz. I'm not a big fan of Prescott, but you have a lot of young guys that are going to be there for a long time. So. Do you think like he's going to be the best out of that bunch? That's what you're betting on. That's a pretty tough bet to take right now.
Yeah, and I joked, you know, they got a whiter, nerdier looking Eli. I mean, this kid, he just looks, you know, he looks like he's going to get eaten up by the media and just the fan base. And again, I'm judging a book by its cover, but it just what he did in college, he had 9 interceptions in one game. I mean.
I don't know how you have nine in one game. It's insane.
Yeah.
Nine.
It's
and the tougher the competition, he was worse every time. Every single time.
Right. Exactly. So, and then, you know, Gettleman tries to go out and say, whoa, well, we are, you know, the Skins and the Broncos wanted him, so we had to take him at six. And it's like, what? Like,
but then I think that came out that was like total bullshit.
Right.
I mean, obviously these guys are lying all the time, but then, like, why do you have to explain yourself? Like, you sound like defensive. Like, oh, well, someone else would have took him. Nah, man, just own it. Be like, hey, we thought it was the best quarterback. That was it. We took him. Not because we were afraid other dudes were going to take him.
Right.
Just say, you know, that was our guy.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think Gettleman they should put like a gag order on this guy. Because every time it opens up his mouth, Giant fans just get like more and more annoyed.
Yeah.
He has like that, you know, arrogance about him that, you know, he's better than everyone and knows more. And like, how dare you question him? You see, he called Kim Jones. He called him like toots or whatever.
Wow. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, and his
wow.
What was the question? Oh yeah, about like, you know, the Lawrence guy, another first round pick. Like, you know, he's not a pass rusher, blah blah blah. He's like, listen, Toots, is he a Toots or something like just like that?
Wow.
Like he's the Rocket Thor. And everyone was like, yo, what the hell is wrong with this guy?
Wow. So, yeah.
He's kind of a prick.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that he's got a New England, you know, Boston accent. That doesn't help his cause, you know, being in this, you know, in this area at all either. So, but yeah,
for
I
sure.
mean, he's, you know, he likes to pride himself on being old school and I invented football and blah, blah, blah. I've done this, been there, done that. Okay, whatever. But yeah, I got to think if they go, you know, even just a losing season, he's probably out of here, especially if this Jones is a complete disaster. I think he's gone, and the fan base will be pretty happy about it, I'm sure. But one of the good guys it seems like they drafted got shot this week. I mean, what the fuck is that?
The one guy, I guess his friend passed away.
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah.
To that guy, that's, you know, a tough situation. And I didn't read like the whole details about it. What happened? I guess they were at a party.
They were at a party. They were out somewhere. Yeah. Where is Washburn or whatever? That's the school they go to.
I think it's Virginia, right? I think
okay.
it's Virginia.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Francesca was blaming him, I guess, or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Or blaming the team for drafting him, just implying that he's a bad kid without knowing any details, which is, you know, crazy to do.
So Francesca's having a fucking, I mean, he's having, I don't know if he's like losing his mind just to get ratings or to get noticed or whatever, but he is like, he's, you know, as we like to joke, going gogger, you know,
going gogger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's having like a semi-delayed like midlife crisis that, you know, I think, you know, everyone, like, you know, things like Barstool are so popular,
yeah.
Things online, social media, he's kind of like, he's not the cool thing anymore, and it's passing him by, and it's like, it's all tough to watch.
Yeah.
It's like painful. You can tell that he's just, he can't give it up, you know what I mean?
Right.
And
so he's going to go
he
and
doesn't like, relate, he doesn't, yeah, he doesn't relate to, like, people like he does, you know. That he used to. It's funny to see, but it's also sad.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, trashing the Giants, flipping out. Then he's going on, went on Boomer and Geo this morning and is flipping out on them.
Yeah.
I mean, he takes on so many people. Obviously, you know, him and Craig Carton, they sparred back in the day and whatever. And he's constantly doing that. And then, you know, now this, what is he called? The Giants loses. And then what else happened? Oh, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, Brandon, I mean, Eli, I guess, won't be on with him, like, during the year.
Yeah.
So now he's a little pissed off. Like, this is what happened with the Jets. Remember, like, the Jets, like, cut off access to him with, like, Revis, the interview?
Yep.
And then after that, he was, like, he would just rip them for every little thing.
Yep.
No matter what, you know, his real playoff counter when, you know, because it was a missed field goal, it didn't count. Like, just, you just rag on him for, like, the stupidest things. Unfairly, you know, because they didn't give access to him. That's exactly what's happening with the Giants now. So he takes it personal. It's all about his ego, and clearly, he's, you know, he doesn't care about his Giant fandom anymore. He's just going to attack them.
Yeah,
probably until he retires.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, it's so bad. He had to be convinced by someone, either his kids or, you know, someone close to him, to do the pizza thing with Portnoy and Barstool.
Yeah, that's gonna be funny. It's definitely gonna be in Saratoga.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's the spot. I heard was it Gennaro's? I think that's the spot that Portnoy did it last year, and that's like the supposedly the best pizza. That's what my peoples tell me up here. That's like the best pizza in Saratoga. There's another place starts with a P. I forget what it was, but they were telling me there's two places. But overall, Saratoga is not really known for pizza or Italian food. So, but yeah, you gotta think they'll both. You know, Frances is up there all summer, and Portnoy, you know, he likes to gamble the ponies. So
yeah, does he have a house up there, Frances, or no?
Yeah, he does. He does. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much definitely during track season. I think it's like every weekend. He's probably up there. He's you know, quite the handicapper.
Horse.
So let's go back to the Jets real quick. Sure. I just want to like run through, you know, so we got Quinnen. I was happy that he did go, you know, with the third round pick with Polite.
Yeah.
It was obviously a need, and you know, just by the tape, the kid's a freak, but again,
no, he would have been, he was a top 20 pick before the combine and he was hurt. He's a guy I wanted before. Like, I've seen him play. He's a really good player. I don't worry about motivation might be an issue. With Greg Williams as a coach, you know, he'll motivate anyone. Jamal Adams, Mosley, these guys are going to, you know, make sure that I think everyone's like, you know, in stride with them.
Or how about money or the fact that you're going to start like day one probably? Like, come on. Like, what do these guys need? Like, I don't get it, but I get it. You know, sometimes you have the physical gifts and, you know, maybe the mental's not, like, you just don't want to do that. Like, you'd rather play video games or something, you know?
Yeah.
Just because you're born with, you know, a special talent doesn't mean you have to do it. And then, I'm going to butcher, Chuma
Adoga.
Adoga. Yeah.
I assume he's a Hawaiian, I guess?
Possibly. USC, it makes sense. But they needed a tackle, offensive tackle, so that's a good pick. But again, another guy who apparently is very inconsistent, according to Coward. Colin Coward liked the picks, but... Well, no. He liked the talent of the... I forget what his tweet was, but he thought it was a risk.
He said it was like a risk. Like, they all are.
They're all risks,
If the Patriots drafted him, he'd be like, oh, God, top five talent. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, all right, man. If the Jets do it, it's like, oh, my God, this guy's an axe murderer. Oh, my God. You know, be careful.
Yeah.
You know, calm down, Colin.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the rest of the picks we were like, you know, what the hell is this? Like, obviously
blocking. Well, first of all, I felt like they were gonna trade back and like stack up like a bunch of picks or whatever.
Yeah.
This freaking guy, he trades back, right? To like go up like, I don't know, like 10 spots or whatever, like in the fifth round or whatever, and got like an extra like fifth round pick.
Yeah.
Then he traded again and he went backwards, like the trades made zero sense.
Zero
like,
sense.
He was trading up and then back in the future. And even the reporters are like, what is this guy? Like, he doesn't have a plan. Like, he just, I don't know what he does. And then that picture of him in the war room and he was holding him.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Yeah. It was like.
Him. There's supposed to be like 50 guys. Like, he's just like, no, you know, fuck it. Everyone hates me. I suck. Whatever. I know it.
Take the day off. Like, what? Damn. Yeah. Yeah, that was...
I don't know what that was about.
That was bizarre. But then they go and, they draft a blocking tight end?
West Virginia, I guess, they didn't use it. Like, they didn't use tight ends in the offense, but you know that guy, Brian Baldinger or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, like the commentator, whatever, scout, he's like, you know, baby Gronk, blah, blah, blah. It's going to make the Jets playbook a lot better. Like, he was raving about him.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's big, he can catch, he's got hands, he's a really good blocker. It's just, you know, when are they going to like get weapons for Sam? They drafted one wide receiver for him in 2 years.
Yeah.
And it was in the seventh round or something like that or whatever. Well, like,
you know, I guess, you know, he looks at it like we spent big money on weapons, obviously with Bell and, you know, they went
Crowder
and, they got another receiver. Who else did they get? Crowder from the Skins, and then they got another receiver.
Did they?
Yeah, I forget.
I'm drawing a blank.
Bears. Jordan Bears. Blank. There was wasn't a receiver from the Bears.
Oh, like Bellamy, but he's like a special.
Oh,
team
Bellamy.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah, I don't know.
They got Ty Montgomery, I guess.
Oh, they did get Ty Montgomery. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah. We'll see.
They need a big wide receiver for him. Hopefully that comes like either next year, you know, in free agency, trade, or, you know, draft one. Because, you know, you need that one guy that's going to, like, pair with him for the next, like, decade.
Yeah.
You know, he's that guy, like Marvin Harrison or whatever.
Unless they believe Quincy, you know, Nunwa, he could be that guy. But I don't know.
I don't trust him with his health. He's always hurt.
Always hurt.
And it's not just, like, little injuries. It was a neck injury. It was a back injury. Like, that's not...
I'm in a body bag.
Those aren't injuries that are just, like, minor, you know, nicks and bangs or whatever. That's, like, legit.
Right. So then the last two picks, Blake Cashman, the inside linebacker we were talking about, which inside linebacker, it's not really a position of need at all. Unless, like you said, they trade Darren Lee,
right.
Which they didn't do.
He's fast, which is good. It seems like he's a really good speed. He runs like 4 or 5 or whatever, which is like a wide receiver speed. So
oh, wow. Okay.
That's good. Yeah.
And then this
Cashman.
And then this
Bless you.
Who's played, what, 5 games in 2 years, they said?
Yeah, I guess, like, the good thing is he's really talented, supposedly. But
yeah.
What the hell, how do you know he's talented when he only played five
when
games?
We didn't see him. And he's playing at Rutgers, which, you know, have they won a game in 2 years? Like, I don't even know.
I don't think so.
God awful.
And he grew up a Giants fan, so welcome to the dog side, Harry.
Jesus. So we'll see with that. I guess altogether, you know, this is how I look at drafts. It's like Mac doesn't have a good track record, so I guess we can hate all we want. It's warranted, you know? Like, what's he done to prove that, you know, his drafts have been good?
It could be a lot worse, and, you know, we'll see. I think Williams... I was all against taking him, but then the more I, like, read about him and found out, I was like, you know what, this is a good pick. I was, when they were talking about trading to Buffalo because they wanted Williams.
Yeah,
I was like, shit, I hope they don't do it, because, like, I'm just picturing this guy for the next, like, you know, 10 years, 2 games a year, just like destroying Darnold. You know what I mean?
Right.
I wouldn't want that. So,
right.
It seems like it's a surefire thing. He's going to be a starter. And, you know, barring injury, he's going to, you know, be a Jet for a long time. So,
yeah, I mean,
can't hit on it.
You put him with the other Leo, Big Cat, Leonard Williams. I mean, no one's doing anything in the middle of the field, you know, on the inside with those two monsters.
And they're going to eat up room for Mosley. So
it's
going to be
a
good defense.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. We'll see. I'm pretty pumped for NFL. I mean, I'm real excited. Maybe it's the new uniforms, second year of Sam, but, like, you know, going into last year, or pretty much, you know, after Sam got hurt, like, I had zero interest in watching the Jets.
It was weird also because we wanted Bowles gone, so it was like we didn't want them to win games.
Exactly.
Almost, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That was the major factor. We wanted Mac gone too, but, you know.
What do you think about what the Cardinals did with Murray now that it's official? You think they made the right move?
Murray!
And how about his suit? The Pink Panther.
Yo, I like that suit, bro. And the way he was wearing it, that was pretty legit.
I think he won the fashion.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again.
Did Bosa, he had the Confederate flag on the inside of his blazer? Did you see that? Like the Photoshop? I thought it was real.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wow, this guy. Then I was like, oh shit, I'm an idiot. Like that was not real.
And
it could have been real.
And
I believe it.
Yeah, obviously he's a known right winger, Trump supporter, you know, whatever. And Trump, of course, went out of his way to tweet, you know, his congratulations and best of luck to Nick Bosa, of course.
Just the number two pick,
who is a huge known supporter of yours. The hilarious part of him being drafted is he was drafted to the most liberal city in the country, or one of them.
Didn't he call it? He said it was like a third world country with like all the homeless people there.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he said that. Like, he has old tweets, like really going after San Francisco.
Oh my god. So not a great start for Bosa there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, you know,
it'll be good. If he plays well, they will not give a shit. So
yeah. Anything else of note in the draft? Obviously the Raiders, that number 4 pick was kind of a head scratcher.
Yeah. They had a good draft though. I like what they did. I think they'll be all right.
Okay.
What else? I like what the Redskins did. Redskins got Haskins, dropped to him, and they got that Montez Sweat.
Yep.
Who was, I think, top 10 talent. I guess they said he had like a regular heartbeat or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, we'll see.
The Patriots.
Outside of that, the Patriots, I freaking knew it. We all called it that they were going to get Winovich, the long-haired.
I love that guy. I watched, dude. Awesome. I watched.
Really, really good.
Yeah, I watched like a. I don't know. I watched like a minute of like an interview with him and Rich Eisen, and like after that minute, I was like, I love this guy. He was just like Garth from Wayne's World, and like he talks like such.
I wanted him. I would have taken him too instead of like the guy from Florida, but yeah, he's gonna drive us nuts for a long time. He's like the perfect pass player.
Oh, of course, or Packer. You know, either one of those teams. I could have seen him on the Packers, obviously, because of the long blonde hair. Yeah,
but
I mean,
nothing else really happened. There wasn't like any huge trades. There wasn't like anyone. Like there wasn't big quarterbacks this year, so it wasn't like this guy dropped all the way down. You know, Haskins, I guess, but you know, he wasn't considered like a top three pick at all.
No.
It looked like Nashville. I don't know, man. If they have a draft again down there, I think I might have to go down.
Looked like a party.
Yeah.
You took the words out of my mouth.
We're having a party.
I was gonna say, it seemed like everyone was raving about Nashville, how good of a venue it was, and but it seems like every year it's like a new city now. Like I don't know what next year is gonna be. But
not sure.
Probably not New York or Chicago or any of the big ones.
Yeah, I want to say Dallas. I think Dallas is like the port, maybe.
I think Dallas, or wasn't Dallas last year? Didn't they do Dallas last year? I forget.
Philly. I thought it was Philly.
Oh, Philly last year. You're right. So, yeah, I could see Dallas or Atlanta, maybe, or Miami or one of these. I don't know. They could do
Vegas. Vegas will get it eventually.
Vegas will definitely get it eventually, 100%. Or Denver.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so enough about the draft. NBA, you got anything to talk about in the NBA? I mean, I'm so sick of the officiating talk. I know you love that shit, but I'm just like...
I don't like it. Okay. It drives me nuts. It drives me nuts that people talk about it because they're so fucking not good at their job. Like they try to become part of the game. And I don't know. The players complain too much about calls, too. Like, I get it, but it's just like, the ref should not be this big part of a game. And I feel like this guy Foster, who's going to be the ref tonight against Rockets Warriors, Harden and Paul can't stand him. Like they went to the league, they had a whole meeting with them, refusing to we can't have this guy ref our games. It's personal. And what do? After the Rockets do this whole complaining about the referees and submit missed calls or whatever, all of a sudden they make Foster the referee tonight. Like it's straight WWE scripted chaos.
Like, yeah,
it's gonna be talked about again tonight. I guarantee it. Even if the guy refs well, they're going to point out the one call that he missed or whatever, and if it's a close game, that's all they're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be the case. It's the two top teams. That's all they should care about. That's why Durant, balling out, Curry hitting crazy shots, Harden, doing well. Not referees, but what it is now, NBA. Yeah,
I know. Here we are. Well, first off, both teams, Warriors and the Rockets, they're both known for just complaining like crazy about calls.
Yeah.
So there's that. You got James Harden, who's like impossible to officiate. I mean, the dude travels constantly. They don't call it. That's just part of his game at this point. He flops. It's so hard to officiate him. So, there's that. But I guess the NBA came out and they investigated it and they actually found 50-something, non-called fouls or some crap like that. I don't know.
Yeah, in the two-minute report, there was, three missed calls that went all against Houston.
Yeah.
So, it's tough. I know, refereeing is tough. I mean, NBA is so fast. Even on TV, you can't tell how fast it is. You guys are so big, so quick.
Yeah.
It's tough to get every call right. But I feel like they do miss, a lot of, easy calls. And it's what are you looking at? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, hopefully tonight... I hope they win. I want to get it 1-1. I want to, a good seven game series with those two.
Absolutely.
I think they'll pull it out tonight. The other game, Boston, Milwaukee. I don't know, man. If Boston wins tonight, then Milwaukee's just
they're toast. Yeah. Is Brogdon back? Do you know if Malcolm Brogdon's back?
Nah, he's not going back till Game Three. But even so, he's gonna be rusty.
Right.
But this is what Brad Stevens does. Like, he shuts down your top guy. He makes other people beat you, and he makes you work for it. And obviously, like, Celtics, they were pretty much coasting throughout the regular season, you know, getting healthy, and now they're the best coach, probably, I think, in the playoffs, and Kyrie.
Yeah.
So,
and
that's a tough combo to beat, an experience. All the young guys played last year.
Yep.
You know, to the conference finals, 7 games, so they're not, like, intimidated by playing away games at Milwaukee.
Yeah.
There's no LeBron there either. So
no LeBron. Like, hey, man, no LeBron, nothing to worry about there. And yeah, they're just clicking in every way right now. I think they've won 5 playoff games in a row, and they didn't win 5 games in a row like all year or some shit.
Yeah.
Kyrie, I mean, Brogdon not playing, he'd probably be guarding Kyrie. Kyrie's playing amazing. Horford's playing amazing.
Yeah.
And everyone else is just playing solid. Yeah, so they're looking good. Toronto, I thought after game one, it was like, they got this series, but then they lost last night. I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. They'll probably go to Philly and split. I think it'll be 2-2. I think Toronto still wins and probably six or seven.
I think that goes 7. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think that's going 7.
But I don't know, man. Like the talent, Philly talent can match up with like anybody.
Anybody.
Like, you have Embiid, yeah. Butler, Tobias, Simmons. Like one on one, these guys are tough. So
yeah.
Even with Kawhi going crazy, you know, you got Siakam. But Lowry, I feel like he's always...
He's kind of buns.
He's always hit or miss in the playoffs.
He looks out of shape. I mean, Kevin Hart blocked him once playing one-on-one. You ever see that video?
Yeah, I saw that.
But
he was trying, too. Like, he really went after
him. I know.
And he got him.
Siakam, by the way, really making a case for himself. This guy's, like, really emerging as, like, a nice...
Oh, he's going to be an all-star next year. He's awesome.
Too bad Kawhi won't be there with him, you know. Moving forward, I mean, you never know, but I don't see him staying.
LA or
LA,
yeah, LA,
Clippers.
LA,
I mean,
LA
yeah,
or LA.
Yeah. The noise of him going to Clippers is almost as strong as Durant going to the Knicks. So
yeah,
he's from Southern California. I think he's from like the Inland Empire, somewhere in LA. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously the NBA wants Celtics, Sixers. That's the rating. If they gave you Toronto, Milwaukee, that'd be pretty brutal for the NBA. So Boston, Philly, Boston. I could see. And then your man's Joker on the Nuggets, man.
Dude,
he is such an interesting player because not only is he just an incredible all around player, but he looks like he just was like, I don't know, like stumbled out of like the bar, hammered, you know, like, he looks like a slob.
Some, like, you know, mining, you know, job in, like, where is he from? Not Albania, but I guess, wherever.
Yugoslavia.
Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, Yugoslavia, whatever.
One of
like,
those countries.
Serbia, yeah. I don't know, one of those. Like, he just got off, like, a 12-hour shift of, like, cracking rocks or whatever and, you know, smoked 2.5 packs of cigarettes.
Yeah, ate fast food
right
all day.
Court.
Yeah.
Yeah, went right to the court, out of shape, you know, but he just destroys people. He can't guard him.
Dude.
I've never seen a player like him, ever.
Ridiculous. Like, he could do this. Can you find anything he can't do? I mean,
No.
Maybe guard the perimeter, but who cares?
Maybe like a sit-up. That's probably it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Even Bob Ryan... I was listening to him on Lebatard earlier. He was even saying best passing big man since Bill Walton, maybe better than Bill Walton because he's got more of a a select. You know, he's different types of passes. Bill Walton, you know, was more like just the outlet pass and the right pass. Whereas Joker, he could do everything, all types of passes. And then you know, there's Sabonis too. But I mean, Joker, how old is he? 25?
I think he's only 24.
Yeah, I mean,
something like that. Yeah.
The only thing is, if he's this out of shape now, what's he going to be like when he's like 34? You know, I gotta think the longevity with this guy is not going to be great. But
the Nuggets try to? But like, he obviously doesn't. He doesn't care. He's just like whatever.
Who wins that series? I mean, Damian Lillard's probably playing better than anyone in the playoffs right now. But I don't know. That's an interesting one. I could see that going seven games easily.
I think Denver, because they have better defenders that can match up with like Lillard and McCollum. Okay. Harris is a very good defender. Barton, Beasley, all these guys, they can defend real well.
Yeah.
So, I don't think they have anyone that can slow down Jokic. You know, maybe Nurkic could have if he was healthy, but nah. Cantor, these other guys, not. Like, yeah, it's a bad matchup for them. But
okay.
Yeah, outside of that, let's just hope for, you know, Game 7's all around. That would be a party.
All right, lastly, I watched Barry last night.
Oh, amazing.
My God.
Amazing.
What an amazing... So the episode was called, what, Ronnie and Lily or something like that?
I forget the kid's name.
Wasn't it Lily?
Lily? Oh, the feral mongoose? Yeah.
Dude, that was... So I actually watched the... you know, after the show, you don't have HBO Go. So on HBO Go, they interview Bill Hader and the other director or creator of the show. So Bill Hader actually directed that episode.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And I guess that little girl was just like some random... God, what was the story he was telling? I guess a friend of his, like, had this girl... She's like a... part-time actor, and like, I don't know, Bill Hader was introduced to her like a while ago, and you know, he didn't know what to use her for, and then he just had was directing the show and he had this idea, and he's like, hey, you know, he called his friend, he's like, that little girl, like, can we use her for, you know, whatever? And it was so random and weird, but perfect. I mean,
oh my God. So it was like nonstop. There was no music. It was just like continuous long, like, fight scene between five different people.
Right.
You know, and the freaking guy, Ronnie, he wouldn't die.
He, like, wouldn't die.
Coming back from, well, I'm like, what is this guy? He killed the guy pretty much in the grocery store. He kills the detective with his, like, ridiculous Taekwondo kicks, which is, like, from a Street Fighter. It was unreal.
That's what he reminded me of. He reminded me of, like, a Street Fighter character. And, like, I love when Barry, like, he's in his house. He walks into that room, and he's got all these trophies and medals. And it's like, he's, like, the Taekwondo, like, champion of the world. And he keeps smoking that joint. And, oh, my God, that was hilarious. And then I guess his daughter comes home, Lily. And she ends up being some, you know, Taekwondo champion as well. And just so fucking weird. And... What a crazy episode. I love that show.
Whoever's not watching that show, please watch it because it's amazing. It's quick. It's only 30 minutes.
It's dark.
It's one of my favorite shows.
It's a really dark comedy. I mean, it gets really serious at times.
He's like the luckiest guy ever. Every time something's going like so bad, something really good happens. Like the detective gets murdered by, you know, the Ronnie. And then other times he's like on top of the world. And then, you know, they're at the retreat with the detective, and then he ends up having to kill her.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, like, to get out of it. But it always comes back. It's just a revolving door of, like, good, bad, and, like, you know, crazy extremes with him.
Yeah, it seems
and
like...
Fuchs is awesome.
Yeah, Fuchs is hilarious. I forget that guy's name. He's been in a million freaking things. You know,
Dodgeball is what
I usually think of first when I think of him. But he's been in a ton of other shit. I think he's actually in... Just Friends, which is one of my favorite movies, and then he's got like a small part in that. He's like a music executive or some shit. But anyway, he's great. He gets his cheek bitten off by Lily.
Hank is awesome. There was no Hank this episode, which kind of made me sad.
Right, no Hank. And then who else? The Fonz's character. Henry Winkler. What's his character? But he won an award, actually. Henry Winkler, his character in the show. He won an Emmy, I think, or some shit like that.
I forget his name, too.
I don't know. It'll come to me. But yeah, he's great. And yeah, Hank is hilarious. Does he really look like that, like in real life, or do they just like? Is he?
I hope he does. I hope he's exactly like that in real life, because you know there needs to be a person in reality like that.
Yeah,
he's so funny.
He's so funny. He's like a Russian mobster or Chechen mobster.
Chechnya.
Like
yeah.
Metrosexual, like happy-go-lucky. it's amazing. I think Bill Hader's a genius. Like he's one of the most underrated just actor, comedian, whatever out there.
He's like scary on the show. Like he can be.
Dude.
He has these moments. I'm like, oh damn, this guy's like, if I saw him, I'd be pretty like.
He's such a great actor. Like he's such a great, I've seen him in some serious roles before. There was some indie movie that they filmed in Nyack actually. With Kristen Wiig. God, I forget the name of the show, but it's him, Kristen Wiig, and the whole movie was filmed in Nyack. I forget the name. But it was like more of a serious role for him, and he's just a great actor. I mean, he plays a war in Barry. He's a war vet, and just kind of going through what war veterans go through, right? I mean, just trying to find their way, and he's got a good heart, but he just got into the wrong.
Yeah, he wants to stop being a hitman, but to like stop being a hitman, he has to keep on killing people just one more time.
It's like
to get out of it. So,
but he wants to be an actor.
Another person he has to kill.
Yeah, but he wants to be an actor and wants to have a normal life. And it's not that easy for him. Unfortunately,
Barry. Do you think? Because you know, this is the first second Game of Thrones episode I've ever watched.
What was the other one you watched?
The first one, but like it was a long time ago.
Oh, so you've seen the first episode of the series?
Yeah, but like, I don't remember shit. I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
I watched the whole thing. Obviously, you're going to get into it with Josh a little bit later, but it was pretty crazy. It was pretty good. Even though it seems like a lot of the Game of Thrones diehards, they're like, eh.
Well, I'm wondering, is it the diehards who were disappointed, or is it the people who watch very casually that were disappointed? You know, the type that watch like while they're on their phones while they're watching, like you know, like yeah, watch it, but are they really watching it? You know, do they understand everything that's going on? So yeah, it's a mix.
Were all the other battles in the show, like it's not like that.
No. Yeah. There's maybe three or four other episodes that could even come close, but that was like they said the longest recorded battle scene in film history.
I can't imagine the budget for that one episode. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, I think they said 70 million. It was like 55 days it took.
Good gosh.
Good. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
So I get the gist of it now. Now it's gonna be like, you know, they all came together to go against the Night King and the White Walkers, right? So now it's going to be like, it's like, all right, that's taken care of. Now it's back to like regular scheduled, chaos between the seven like clans or whatever, I guess. Right?
Well, there's the seven kingdoms. So they're going to go to King's Landing where Cersei is and I guess try and take the throne from her. Dany's going to try and but this is where it's going to get interesting. It's like Jon Snow and obviously there's so much background that you're going to have to go back and watch it to understand. But, you know, now he's the quote-unquote prince that was promised, you know, the true king, blah, blah, blah. But Dany, she thinks she's the king. Cersei thinks she's the king. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
It's going to be some conflict between Dany and Jon for sure. So it's going to get very interesting. And then, you know, Cersei's got a huge army now.
But the white king's got like no hands, man. He couldn't fight.
Who?
He's all talk. The Night King. He's all nothing.
Well, again, you know, you got to go back. I can't explain it to you, but like, you know, there's some backstory to that. Why it seemed so easy for her to kill him? You know, she just stabbed him in that one part in the leg. But the way he was created was by the Children of the Forest, and they put a dagger in that spot in his leg to make him the Night King. So people are like, that was it, you know. I get it, it's funny, but like, that's, you know, there's obviously a lot more fantasy implications.
Every time the army of the dead kills people, right, like when they killed the Dothraki,
yes, rest in peace.
So like after they got killed or whatever, they turned into the army too and like went after
Yeah,
whatever, the castle, or whatever.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Everyone usually once you get killed. Now I don't know though because.
So like, what was like the Night King's endgame? Everyone dies and then they just walk around like dead and like. That's it?
Well, The Long Night was the name of the episode, and I assume that means, obviously, you know, that's what the Night King wants. He just wants a long night. He just wants, that's it, you know? It's kind of like the Joker, right? Like, the Joker in the Batman movies, he just wants chaos. That's it. There's no end game. He doesn't want money. He just wants chaos. I think that's kind of what the Night King
wants. He never talks, right?
No. No. He smiled. He smirked when Dany and her dragon were, you know, shooting fire on him. He just it was unfazed and just kind of gave a smirk, which
say like, fuck your fire. That was crazy.
Which if anyone, you know, I get it. Like, you know, if anything was corny or cheesy from from that episode, it was probably that the smirk. It was really, dude. Ugh. That was a little much, but regardless, insane episode.
Regardless.
I mean, I was on the edge of my seat, like, you know, having a panic attack. It was crazy.
I really want
you to go back and watch.
I'm going to check it out. What's up with Brand? Is he just like...
That's another
like,
thing.
Zooted out? Is he like zooted out all the time? Like, what's... He seems like...
He's another one, man. I don't know his end game either. It's very... You know, hopefully in the last three episodes they kind of explain what the hell he's... You know, he's a three-eyed raven or some shit. I don't know.
He's a Stark?
He's a Stark. So he's the youngest? Him or, because he's younger than Arya, who's a god, and then Rickon, who died in Battle of the Bastards, might have been younger than both of them. I'm not sure, but yeah, he's a bizarre character.
Seems weird. I don't know. Yeah. And then like the one guy, you know, ran at the Night King like the girl from Taken.
Oh,
you
Theon?
Know, 50 yards away, running like a doofus. I was like, dude, what are you doing?
So. Again, I do implore you, and I hope you do it. I hope you go back and watch the whole series. That guy, Theon, I mean, holy shit. He's been so... his character has been so up and down, like such a roller coaster ride over the series. And he killed it, man. I really was, like, happy that, like, he, like, fully redeemed himself in that episode. He was fucking killing everybody. He was doing great. And then, you know, I was nice. Brand's like, you know, you're a good guy or whatever the fuck he said. And then he, you know, was killed by the Night King. Go back and watch it. That's my recommendation.
Okay.
You won't, but
I was into it. I was watching.
I'm glad that you liked it. And like, you know, obviously there's a lot going on. You're probably like, huh, what? And obviously you're asking me questions, but like, once you go back and like understand things, it'll make it a lot better. So
yeah,
but I get it. It takes a while. It's not like, you know, oh yeah, I'll just, you know, I'll watch it this weekend or whatever. Like, it's not that easy. Yeah. Obviously it's a lot of TV. So
yeah. A lot of TV.
Yeah. But
all right, chicken.
All right. One.
All right, chicken time. All later.
Right, peace.